Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves.
Well, friends, let me begin by sharing with you a brief memory from several years ago. It was here in Hong Kong. We were out for an evening stroll by the waterfront, and it was a nice, calm evening. So there we were walking along. But while we were out, you could get this inkling that a storm was on its way in. And so the wind started to pick up, and the waves started to get a bit more animated. And so we decided to turn back, started to head home. But while we were walking home, it's clear the storm arrived. The wind started to get stronger. The waves started to get more animated, and so we started to walk quicker. But before we made it home, the thunder and lightning started. And as you know, in Hong Kong, the storms can be really quite vicious, right? Bright flashes of lightning, deafening roars of thunder. And in particular, as we were walking along, there was this bright flash of lightning. And almost instinctively, I hunched over and looked down and covered my ears as if to kind of protect myself from it. Yeah, I knew what was coming next. Only trouble was, I was still walking. I was still walking at quite some pace. You can just picture me there, walking along, head down, ears covered, while the thunder came along. Boom! I walked straight into this person walking the other way. I mean, we gave each other the biggest fright. So the lesson I learned that day was you've got to look up. Simple lesson to learn. As you're walking along, you've got to look up. Now, chances are most of us in this room have already learned that lesson. And we teach that to our kids. When you walk around, don't look down at your feet, look up. But friends, what about in our life more generally? It is so easy to walk around day by day with our shoulders hunched, with our heads down, looking at just the ground that's right in front of us. Our horizons shrunk, our perspectives narrowed. Well, that day, the lesson I learned was that I needed to look up. Let me ask you a question then. What would we see if we looked up? What would we see if we looked up? See, the reality is life can really weigh us down, can't it? As we gather this morning, each of us will be facing all sorts of different challenges. We'll be bearing different burdens, weighty burdens that weigh us down. Perhaps it's challenges that we face as individuals, challenges that we face as a family. Maybe it's challenges that we face at work. Maybe it's even the challenge of finding work in the first place. Just the challenge of making ends meet is a burden that weighs us down. Perhaps we face real conflict, conflict that won't seem to move on from us. We know, of course, that conflict can descend on a church. Differences of perspective, differences of opinion that can really threaten to pull apart our unity. Maybe we're weighed down by illness for a particular period of time. Maybe for a whole season of our lives, maybe a chronic illness. Each of us will be weighed down by a whole number of different kinds of burdens. And when we are, it's so easy, isn't it, for our shoulders to become heavy, to start hunching over and looking only at the ground right in front of us. Well, friends, what would we see if we were to look up? Well, according to our verses this morning, what we would find is that God really has blessed us. That's what we would see if we were to look up. That even in the midst of those challenges, we can know that our gracious God really has blessed us. You see, this morning we're beginning this new series in Ephesians, all the way through to Easter. We're going to be working our way through the book of Ephesians. And it's been in the pipeline for a while. I've been looking forward to it. And I'm convinced that it will do us a lot of good as a church. Because here in these few chapters, what we get is a fresh glimpse of the grace that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. And we'll get to see the privilege that we have as a church of putting on display this grace that we've received. We get to put that grace on display for the world around us. We'll find that this grace can transform our relationships, not just with each other in church, but even beyond as well. And so we're going to work through week by week this letter of Ephesians all the way through to Easter. And this morning we're going to start just by looking at these first few verses. And you'll see the way it begins there. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to these Christians in Ephesus, which we know was a regional hub at the time. It was a center of learning. It was a center of religion. It was a real economic hub. It was a political center, a significant place. And over the weeks, we'll see how different parts of that context really help us understand this letter. But for now, all we need to say, I think, is that these Christian believers, well, they would have faced all sorts of challenges, real challenges, pressures from the world around them, pushing them to live the way of the world, but also pressures within the church family, differences, tensions that threaten to tear apart the unity of the church, pressures within, pressures without, not too dissimilar to our own circumstances. And later on in the letter, Paul will address these things. He'll speak to them. He'll give exhortations and instructions. But friends, do you notice what he doesn't do here? He doesn't start by jumping to the fixes. He doesn't start by jumping to those instructions. He starts by lifting their eyes to see what they have in Christ. He begins by lifting their gaze to see that God really has blessed them. And it's the same for us as we now begin this journey through the book of Ephesians. We find that God really has blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly. He has held nothing back from us. He's blessed us unconditionally, not on the basis of what we bring to the table. He's blessed us intimately, almost more than what we can describe. God really has blessed us abundantly, unconditionally, intimately. That's what we'll be working through this morning as we meditate on these few verses. And our hope is that as we delve into these verses, we can walk out those doors with all our problems fixed. No. No, of course not. No, we're going to walk straight back into those same challenges. We're going to walk straight back into those same burdens. But the prayer is that as we bear those burdens, our gracious God might lift our gaze to see that He really has blessed us. And so with that in mind, why don't we jump in now and look at this first aspect, how God has blessed us abundantly. Let's pick up again in verse 3 here. God has blessed us abundantly. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What this verse does is it stands as the introduction to the whole section. This section runs all the way down to verse 14. We'll look at that next week. Today we'll just go up to verse 6. But what this verse does is it stands as this banner over all that's to follow. And it declares to us that God has held nothing back. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And this verse also then helps us understand those blessings. You see, we know, of course, that Paul here isn't referring to material blessings, right? God hasn't promised to bless each of us with a really nice apartment and really successful investments. God just hasn't promised that. Paul is referring to spiritual blessings here. But even there, we're not to think of these spiritual blessings as these sort of ethereal, abstract ideas that just come in handy every so often. No, it's more than that. It's more abundant than that. When Paul speaks of these spiritual blessings, he is referring to the blessings of the Holy Spirit. In other words, as he declares that God has blessed us, he is reminding us that God has given us of himself. He's given us of himself. You can see something of this in the way he describes it. Where is this? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, why is that significant? What's the deal with the heavenly realms? Well, if you skip down to chapter 1, verse 20, we'll put it on the screen. We see that when Christ was raised from the dead, he was seated with God in the heavenly realms. That's the significance. It's where Christ is. And not only is it where Christ is, it's also where we are, spiritually speaking. We skip ahead to chapter 2, verse 6. If we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, then we too have been raised with him and seated with him in the heavenly realms. And so as we try to understand, how to think about how God has blessed us, we're to understand all of this as being in relation to him. Do you see how the whole Trinity is in view here? Father, Son, and Spirit. This is how one preacher has put it. John Stott, writing on this verse, he said, every blessing of the Holy Spirit has been given us by the Father if we are in the Son. No blessing has been withheld from us. This is why Paul can speak of the abundance of God's blessing. It's because he has given us of himself. And so we're not to think of these spiritual blessings in the way that we think about loyalty points or membership points, right? Money back or YUU or your credit card points or air miles, all of those kind of things. It works the same way, doesn't it? You're trying to rack up as many points as possible. You're trying to rack up as many blessings from these corporations as possible. You're trying to hit certain thresholds and unlock certain benefits. We find out that someone else is on a certain number of points and we think, wow, we really need to catch up. We're trying to get more of those points. Well, that is to totally misunderstand God's blessings. And so perhaps I can illustrate it like this. Growing up, I knew a number of other kids whose parents ran Chinese restaurants. Not an uncommon thing for immigrant families. But the challenge, of course, was that running these restaurants was all-consuming. It would take all your time and energy just to keep these businesses afloat. And so one of the challenges was that, well, they would leave very little time for their kids, these other people I knew. The thing is that from my perspective, all I could notice was that these other kids, well, they seemed to have all the nice stuff. They seemed to have nice clothes. They seemed to have latest gadgets. And if I'm honest, I was jealous. I would think to myself, it's not fair. Why were they blessed so abundantly compared to me? But of course, it's only as I grew up that I started to understand the situation. What was it that these kids really wanted? What was it that these kids really needed? Well, it wasn't their parents' stuff. It was their parents. Well, friends, Paul declares to us here that God has given us of himself. As he proclaims the praises of God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's not like God has just sort of dished out these spiritual blessings to occupy us on the side. No, in Jesus Christ, we have him. He is the one that we have. And that is significant because it's in this context then that we can read the rest of this passage. It's in this context that we can understand the blessing of God as Paul unpacks it across this section. And then it's in this context that we can look at the challenges we face. It's in this context that we can consider the burdens that we bear. Even in those circumstances, we can know that God has held nothing back. At the start, I said that when we gather together this morning, each of us will be bearing different burdens. Each of us will have our own stories to share. I wonder where you feel that in particular this morning. Where do you feel the pinch of that during this season of life? Because it is precisely in those moments that we can start to think that God has somehow held something back from us. That God is somehow withholding his blessing from us. That our experience is somehow more like curse than blessing. Well, friends, in the midst of that, what would we see then if we looked up? We would see that God has blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly because we have him. It doesn't fix our problems. It doesn't make the challenges vanish. But it does set the backdrop for our experience. It gives us the perspective that we need. Friends, we may not have all that we want. We may not have all that we think we need. And yet, even in the midst of that, we can know that God has blessed us abundantly. Because he has given us of himself. That's the banner here in verse 3. God has blessed us abundantly. But then as we move on to verse 4, we can see that God has blessed us unconditionally. And so let's move on there to there now. Verse 4, God has blessed us unconditionally. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. What this verse does here is it begins to highlight one aspect of this spiritual blessing we have, that God has chosen us. And of course, instinctively, we understand how choosing works. Choosing is something you do deliberately. You don't choose something by accident. You choose it on purpose, intentionally. It's not that God has somehow had his hand forced and he had no choice but to choose us. It's not like God was just left with the leftovers and he had no choice but to take us as his own. No, God chose us. Paul even tells us when he did that. Verse 4 again, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose us before time began. Now that is mind-blowing as you start to try to get your heads around it. It's mind-blowing as you start to think about the implications of it. Here's how one theologian, John Calvin, draws out the significance of this reality. He says, he takes away all regard for worth and merit. For what basis is there for distinguishing between those who did not yet exist? What is the basis for God's choice? Well, it is entirely up to God's gracious choice. We actually see something of that in how he continues to describe it. Verse 4 again, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, do you notice what Paul doesn't say here? He does not say that he chose us because we were holy and blameless in his sight. He doesn't say here that he chose us because we were more holy and blameless than the people around us. He doesn't even say that God chose us because one day he knew that we would be holy and blameless enough. Friends, it is not the basis for his choice. It is the purpose of his choice, that we may be holy and blameless before him. Perhaps I can illustrate it like this. Some of you will be familiar with this game, Top Trumps, this card game. If you're not from, maybe you get it in the US. If you're not familiar with Top Trumps, I gather it's a bit like baseball cards. Really, you get a particular topic. Here you have skyscrapers, for example. And inside this deck, you have all these different examples of skyscrapers. And it's all about comparing their statistics. So for a skyscraper, you might have how tall it is, how many floors it has, other significant things about skyscrapers. I'm sure there's other important things. But you compare the how expensive it was, maybe something like that, right? You compare these statistics. And the way you play it is you try to get the one that is the best, right? And you try to compare with all the others. Well, I've shared this story with you before, but many years ago, I was part of a workshop that used this as an illustration. And what they did was they got us to make our own Top Trumps cards. Except here, they got us to make our own Top Trumps cards based on ourselves. We were the cards. Now, this is a ministry context, so the categories were like this. Number of sermons preached, number of Bible studies led, Bible knowledge out of 66. The worst one was this, personal godliness out of 10. I mean, what would you even write? Where would you even begin? Godliness out of 10. And so it was horrible writing these cards. But even worse was what happened next, because they collected in these cards and then they started playing Top Trumps with us. At the front, they played with us. They scrubbed the names. It's all anonymous. But there they were. Here, I've got someone who's preached 10 sermons. Isn't that impressive? Oh, my person's preached 20 sermons. Take that. It was horrible. But it was a powerful illustration. It pointed out to us how easily we tend to compare ourselves with each other based on what we bring to the table. But more than that, it pointed out to us how easily we start to think of God choosing us based on what we bring to the table. It's as if we picture the living God looking through this deck of cards and picking out only the ones that were good enough. Well, friends, what Paul declares to us here is that God did not choose us because we were holy and blameless. He did not choose us because we were good enough, because we were better than others. Friends, he declares to us that God chose us because he chose us. He has blessed us unconditionally. And when that sinks in, that is both a real challenge, but also brings deep encouragement. It's a challenge because it means it's not up to us. And if we're honest, we hate that. We like to feel like we deserve things, that we've earned it in some way. Or at least we like to feel like we're in charge in a measure, that we have some kind of say over what happens. At the very least, we'd like to understand it. But even as we try to get our heads around the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world, I mean, sometimes we can barely remember what happened last week. And chances are we're going to forget some of the things we're supposed to do this week, let alone get our heads around the fact that God chose us before time even began. It is deeply humbling. Friends, in Ephesians, we are confronted with the reality that God is God and we are not. But this also brings great encouragement because it assures us that God's choice of us, God's favor upon us, is not based on what we bring. God's choice of us doesn't ebb and flow depending on the week, depending on the occasion. See, it may be that you come here this morning and it has been a good week. You know, not a perfect week, but a decent week. Well, God's choice of you is no more certain as a result of that. But it may well be that you're here this morning and it has been a bad week. It has been a challenging week. But the hard things haven't just been the hard things out there, but it's been the things in here. As you consider the sin in our hearts, and it is weighing us down. Well, friends, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His choice of you is no less certain because of that. Because God did not choose us because of the good weeks that we've had, because of the good record that we bring, because we were on a running streak. He chose us because He chose us. He's blessed us unconditionally. Now, it may well be that this is something that some of us really need to hear this morning. Maybe it's something that we need to share with someone that we're caring for or walking alongside. Maybe this is something that an encouragement we need to take to someone, even this afternoon. In the midst of our burdens, as we reflect on ourselves, what would we see if we looked up? Well, we would see that God has blessed us unconditionally. Friends, will you hold on to this humble confidence today? God really has blessed us. He's blessed us abundantly, held nothing back. He's given us of Himself. He's blessed us unconditionally, not based on what we bring to the table. Finally, He has blessed us intimately, beyond almost what we can describe. God has blessed us intimately. Let's turn to verse 5 now. End of verse 4, really. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. What this verse shows us is that God has laid out a path before us. That's what Paul refers to as Him predestining us. That God has charted out this path ahead of us. And so still the focus is on God's great purposes. He is the one who calls the shots. He is the great actor in the universe. You can see how He's the subject of all these verbs, right? But it's also more intimate than some kind of mechanical force out there pulling the strings of the world. It is in love that He predestined us. It is according to His good pleasure. It brought Him delight to chart out this path for us. It wasn't left to some algorithm, some line of code, some AI model to spit out this result. No, it is in love that God has determined the path for us. And where does that path lead? Well, you see here in verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Where adoption is like the ultimate welcome. In our lives, we'll experience all kinds of different levels of welcome, won't we? When you go visit a new country, hopefully you'll be welcomed in as a tourist. If you're there for work or as a student, Now you'll be given a visa, so you'll be welcome to stay for longer. But of course, there's still limits to how welcome you are. There'll be certain things that you can or can't do. When we were in the U.S., our status was officially non-resident aliens, which isn't exactly a warm hug. But of course, if you're a citizen, oh, then you are really welcome. You can waltz through those gates like it's your home. Of course, that's just at a country level. What if you are actually welcomed into a home? Family is significant, isn't it? When you rock up to your parents' house, when you rock up to your children's house, if your children are grown up, oh, welcome home, son. Welcome home, dad. That's significant. Or imagine if you introduce a really good friend of yours. Oh, I'd love you to meet Greg. Greg is like a brother to me. That means something. That's significant. Or if you get married and your in-laws say to you, you're part of the family now. Welcome. That means something. Well, adoption is like the ultimate welcome. And in Jesus Christ, that is precisely what we have received. One last quote for you, this time from theologian J.I. Packer. This is how he describes the significance. God receives us as sons and loves us with the same steadfast affection with which he eternally loves his only begotten. Get this. We are all loved just as fully as Jesus is loved. Wow. Perhaps in the words of our passage, you could put it like this. The living God is not only, verse 3, he's not only the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, over there. No, he is also, verse 2, grace and peace to you from God, our Father. He has blessed us intimately. And so we can know that we are truly welcome. Now, as we speak about being welcomed into God's family, I know that each of us will come from different families. And we'll have different experiences of family. For some, family is a very happy thing. Lots of happy moments, happy memories. For others, family is a really hard thing. Maybe from growing up, maybe even right now, filled with hurt and hardship. But the wonderful truth is that even though we come from different families, if we belong to Jesus, then we belong to his family. God has blessed us intimately. It's horrible, isn't it, when you feel like you don't belong. When that niggling thought enters your mind that really, you're not really supposed to be there. That at the end of the day, that you're not really welcome. Not as much as other people. And that is precisely how we can often feel in life as a Christian believer. As we seek to be faithful to his word in a world that wants nothing to do with him, we can feel like outsiders. But Paul assures us that we have been blessed intimately. Even when we feel like we don't belong, we know that we have been welcomed in. And that door will never be slammed in our face. Friends, when we are all too familiar with feeling isolated, when that's the burden we bear, what would we see if we looked up? And we would see that God has blessed us intimately. Will you hold on to that assurance of a welcome today? As you try to draw some of these things together, what have we seen? Just a short few verses, and yet packed with richness. Our gracious God really has blessed us abundantly, unconditionally, intimately. That is the assurance we have. Not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. That's been the repetition all the way through, isn't it? All of these blessings, all of these things we've looked at, they come to us in Christ, through Christ. We can know that God has blessed us because he has blessed us in him. It's going to be one of the big themes that we see throughout the book of Ephesians. He has blessed us abundantly. All that belongs to Christ is now ours by faith. He's blessed us unconditionally, not based on our merit, but on account of Christ's righteousness. He has blessed us intimately, drawing us into the closest relationship there could possibly be. Of course, the truth is that Christ was the only one to truly deserve this blessing. He was the only one who was actually holy and blameless in his sight. He was the only one to perfectly trust God, his Father, perfectly obedient to his word. And yet on that cross, he sat under the full weight of God's judgment. He was treated on account of our sin. He was left to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus Christ took the ultimate curse so that we could have the ultimate blessing. That is what we have if we belong to him. We can know that our God really has blessed us in Christ. Friends, if you're here this morning and you are not yet a follower of Jesus, well, I have the immense privilege of declaring to you that everything we've looked at, all these great blessings that we've been meditating on, friends, they can be yours if you turn and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Here at Ambassador, we really do believe that the good news of Jesus is good news to be shared. And so if you're still exploring the Christian faith, we are glad that you're here. Please, we'd love to talk more. We'd love to help you explore this. At the very least, let me encourage you to keep coming each Sunday as we unpack Ephesians, as we see more of who Jesus is and what we can have in him. But as we close, where does this leave us then? Where does this leave us if we are followers of Jesus? What do we do with this? It would be strange, wouldn't it, if we just kind of stopped there. It would be very unusual if we've seen all that we've seen, if we've meditated on all of this and then just closed our Bibles and then left for lunch. Now, what do we do with this? But of course, there aren't any commands here. Maybe you noticed that already. Paul doesn't actually give any real instructions of what to do. But even though there are no commands, there is a constant refrain. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, the way it ends, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It continues in the rest of the section. Verse 12, that we might be for the praise of his glory. Verse 14, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. There's this constant refrain. What Paul is referring to here isn't just an action that we need to tick off. He's referring to the shape of life. It's a call to remember that we are part of something bigger. Sure, God has graciously blessed us. But it doesn't just stop there as if it was a dead end. Friends, as we see afresh the blessing of the living God, it is meant to propel us. It is meant to compel us to praise God from whom all blessings flow. It's what we were made for. Now, of course, in the midst of our challenges, it can be hard to praise God. We find it hard to find it within ourselves, the heart and the energy and the resources to praise him. The call to worship on a Sunday can feel like an extra burden on us. And as we try to muster it up within ourselves, that burden becomes heavier. And so, friends, as we close, let me just say this. If all you are going to do from this, if all you're going to do is go out from here and look within yourself and rely on yourself and try to just dig deep on your own resources, friends, that is going to leave you nowhere. But what would we see if we looked up? Well, we would see that our gracious God really has blessed us in Christ. And so as we go out from here, as we go into this week, as we continue in this season of life, friends, will you look up and see that God really has blessed us? And will you respond in praising God from whom all blessings flow? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the gift of opening up your word. We thank you that as we do that, we get to see Christ and all that we have in him. Thank you that you really have blessed us in him. And so we pray that you would help us see this afresh. Lord, we gather this morning as those who are weary and burdened. And so we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would lift our gaze and open our eyes to see afresh all that we have in Christ, that we might respond in praise to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.